Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Out Podcast. Double podcast week. Too much to talk about at this point, and we needed to bring in, for the first time as a father, Tron Carter. He's fired up tonight. You ready to go?
I'm ready, Solly. Ooh, man, I'm ready. It's been one of those days, man.
Are we going to spar a little bit on the Rictator? I think we kind of are.
We might. I'm fired up today, dude. It's been one of those days. Woke up. Actually, really didn't even wake up. Kid was screaming all night. Just not getting enough milk, I guess. And then we get, my coffee machine broke this morning. I went and did taxes at lunch. My favorite taco place closed.
You need a release. You need a release.
And then I've been doing expense reports all afternoon. So I'm just like, oh my God.
It's boiling over at the bit. All right, let's do it. Ricky, I think you said it today best on Twitter. We're kind of like me, you, and Randy are spread out across the spectrum. I've been fluffing him for a solid 3 years now, actually. Randall's on the other end of the spectrum. Where do you lie on the spectrum for Ricky Fowler?
I'm kind of agnostic, you know? Just,
I don't know what that word means. I actually had to Google that today. I saw that you typed that. I don't know what that means.
It's like, it's kind of like how Spieth is with pop. Like, he's like post-pop. Like, I'm like post-Ricky. Like, it's, he, like Spieth neither possesses nor lacks pop. Like, Ricky neither, like, I neither like him nor hate him. I'm just kind of whatever. Like I acknowledge the fact that he exists, but he needs to show me more.
So you're just like truly objective on Ricky.
Yeah, like I understand where Randy's coming from. I mean, I think he's as harsh as anybody on him, but not like in a mean-spirited way. It's just like, hey man, he's the most probably, you know, if not the most probably top three most promoted dudes on tour, you know, outside of Cat. And you know, is that necessarily right or deserved? Maybe not, you know, probably not. But then again, like, that's just Ricky being smart and having good endorsements and all that. So, you know, I'm not really going to hold that against him.
Yeah.
But then I also see where you're coming from too. So
that's where I kind of try my best to separate all these things out. That's exactly what you just said, though. Like, he's very smart the way he's marketed himself. And I think Randy even said that, you know, his Q rating may be higher than deserved for his actual play. But I just think, and I get that if you want to hold him to, you know, where he's promoted at in the game compared to his resume, obviously he's never won a major. He's won four times by the age of 28, though. I think if you just separate it out, like some people I feel like try to make him out to be kind of just this guy that doesn't win or can't win. I know that was the narrative before he won the Players, because he only had one win at, you know, and he'd been out on tour for five, I think that was his fifth or sixth year when he won the Players. So, I don't know. I think like a guy, he's not like a guy that lingers in the mid 50s or so in the world golf rankings. And I know we have plenty of issues in the world golf rankings, but he's been a top 10, top 15, 20 player for a long time now. I know 14, he slid, he was way down, and then he had that major run. And then I think he maybe even fell back down after. When did he switch to Butch? I don't remember the timelines here.
I want to say it was like 2014 or maybe before, like that winter after the 2014 season.
That was it. I think it was, right? Yeah, it was. Right when we started the website, actually, is when he switched. And then he had the 2014 season, yeah. So, I don't know. Since then, he's been a serious world-class player. I thought he got a really raw break to not win the Farmers last year. You know, I don't get the rap on him not closing he's 0-for-4 on 54 hole leads going into this week. Like, since when do we care how a guy wins a tournament? First of all,
I think that comes back to Tiger, right?
Yeah, because 54 hole leads are converted at like I'm pulling this out of my ass, but like a 36% rate or something like that, I'm pretty sure I've seen before. So,
yeah,
the fact that he's 0-for-4, it's not that large of a sample size. And I don't know. So you just like the other three wins that he came from behind on don't count?
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I just feel like people get upset about overexposure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something where I was sparring with Shipnuck a little bit about this earlier. It's like, I don't even have this strong opinion whether he's elite or not. I don't think he is, you know, but like, I only think there's like two guys in the world that are elite, or three guys in the world that are elite right now. But like, I the fact that we have to have that entire conversation every time he does something is what bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we just say, all right, like, Ricky won, he's playing well right now. Like, just leave it at that, you know?
I'm with
that's,
you. Dan.
That's the frustrating thing. It's just, we just get beat to death with the, is so-and-so elite? Well, I don't know. Who cares, you know?
Is he a elite player? So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, he's not in the Rory, DJ, Day, Spieth category. He's not. That's why I put, as much as I'm a fan of Fowler, I pushed that narrative away as quickly as I possibly could when, you know, he won in Abu Dhabi last year and people were trying to say that this is a big four and all that stupid shit. But I thought we have successfully quelled that. I don't feel like people are really trying to push that narrative right now. Do you?
I don't. I mean, I think it's just residual because it got pushed so hard last year or 2 years ago that people have kind of weaned off of it. You know, it's, I mean, people are almost scared to you know, cross that bridge. Like, I was talking to DJ earlier, DJ Pahowski, he was saying how, like, he was making the argument that Phil Mickelson is elite. And I was like, I don't know, man. Like, Tiger won more recently than Phil. Right?
Or are we saying like the current status?
Yeah, yeah. I guess I was thinking of it from the current mentality, whereas DJ was like, no, man, he, just like you say, like, Spieth is post-pop, like, you know, or Monet's like post-impressionist. It's like Mickelson is like post-elite. Like, he would have won three or four times in the last couple of years if he really cared that much, but he would just rather, you know, do whatever. I don't know. That was his take, but I guess end of the day, it's like, I just like watching these guys play golf. I'm not so concerned about who's elite and who's not. I just want to know who has pop and who doesn't.
Yeah, it might be a straw man that I'm arguing, or that I'm still like facing the critics, or kind of trying to shut the critics up on Fowler at this point. Because I think we at least kind of know where he is on the spectrum, and there's not really much argument on that. I don't think there's like a good comp for him. Or do you have a good comp for him?
I think Arnold Palmer, man.
I saw you say that. And I was hoping
that's
you wouldn't
so
repeat
aggressive,
that.
But I know I'm going to get just absolutely lit up.
But it's like, okay. I once compared JT to the 2000s Tiger, so go ahead.
But like, Palmer never, I mean, I don't think he won his first major until he was like 28 or 29.
Is that right?
Because he didn't. He didn't turn pro until he was like 24.
He didn't win 25. One after 32, though, so.
He banked a bunch of them, though, like right in between. Hold on.
Just pounded in the laptop.
Yeah, man.
I'm pretty sure he won one younger than that, but.
All right, he was born in 1929, and his first major was
58.
So he was 28 at that time in April of 28, wow. or in April of.
So he won all of his majors between 1958 and 1964. That's actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He won 3, 4, 5, 7. Yeah, he won 7. And then he had four top fives, or four top two finishes, five top two finishes in those from 1960 to 1964, which
is crazy. Fowler's got a crazy long way to go to get in that category. But, I mean, I meant like in today's game.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like a player that, I mean, he's just kind of a unique player in what we just talked about the marketability, the Q rating, the popularity, and where that stands as far as a game comparison. But like, are you taking like Fowler or Justin Rose? Just like, I don't want to say going forward because Rose is much older, but like for like the next two seasons, who would you rather have, Justin Rose or Ricky Fowler?
That's not a good question to ask me. I'm not a Justin Rose guy.
But I meant like not as a fan, but like as actual results. Who's going to put out better results over the next two seasons?
Ricky, I think.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Yeah. Rose is, I mean, I'm not a big Rose, obviously not a big Rose fan, but like that guy produces like every single year. I think if Ricky matches Rose's output for the next two seasons, that's a good 2 year stretch.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Rose won a major too, you know, it's like, and he's won some big time events too, at big time courses.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I think that covers Ricky, or do you have anything left on that?
No, I mean, I think, you know, overall, it just comes down to exposure, but it also, like, we need to let these guys marinate a little bit.
Yep.
You know? I mean, DJ, look at DJ. Everybody's on his nuts now. But, like, I remember 2 years ago when people were saying, oh, the guy can't putt, he can't finish. Like, he'd won the range short and pebble a couple times. Like, you know, he'd, like, shit his pants at pebble 1 year in the U.S. Open in the final round. But, like, the guy just didn't let it bug him, just kept going back to the well. I think Ricky's the same way. You know, he seems like a pretty determined guy. So I just think it's tough to compare these guys historically too, because there's just so much more depth out there now.
Yeah.
You know?
You're so right on that, DJ. Like, go back to when I like tweeted the Photoshop of him holding the U.S. Open trophy before the U.S. Open last year. The replies to that were flaming. Like, oh, is it a 54-hole tournament? Or not a chance. He can't putt. And like, now no one says any of those things about DJ. So you're exactly right that we just keep shifting, and we kind of forget about all the stupid things that not we, but people had said about those guys before they became super successful. So
it just doesn't even, like, we don't even deserve DJ.
No.
As a human race.
Like, did you see how he announces the gender of his baby?
No, I didn't see that.
He had like a exploding golf ball on the beach or something and hit it and it was blue.
Was the first one a girl?
No, they have a son. Boy. They have a son.
They have a son? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I don't follow the personal life of DJ Tutu Cruz closely. I try to keep the spirit of single pre-Paulina DJ alive in my head.
There is enough to cover an entire podcast on that. Yeah. But Tyrell Hatton's spike mark blame, the sauce performance on 17. Have we seen better performance art in this decade, really?
No, that was Monty-esque.
He owned it. He saw the video tweet and he owned it. So that was pretty special, though. I was very impressed.
I loved it.
That's got to be
spectacular.
We've had a lot of sauce so far in the year. The saucies this year are going to be highly, highly populated.
Yeah. I think you might have to do a mid-year update.
I might have to. Yeah. Make a primaries or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. A caucus.
A caucus.
We should caucus.
Speaking of downcock, Gary Woodland, I don't think you mentioned a few things to me this week. You don't seem to be the biggest fan of this guy.
I like him a lot. Like, he's so talented and he obviously hits the shit out of it. But, man, like, the guy is incapable of hitting a half shot.
I feel his entire game is like an 80% shot now, though. I feel like he was the guy that was swinging out of his shoes like years ago, and now he is 80% guy.
Or maybe maybe he's like trying to saw off that 80% shot, choke down a little bit, but like he still hits that full shot when he should just hit. You know, it's like he looks totally lost when he has to hit, you know, like a half shot or a three-quarter shot when – like, it's always like he always swings the same speed to me, and he just seems so mechanical.
Do the numbers support this, or are you going to get chirped at for this?
Oh, I'm definitely. I get chirped at for everything. I mean,
it's part of.
I'm a field player, though.
I'm a field player.
I know what I see. You know.
You don't need the specific yardages. You're going off feel.
I don't know. I mean, I was blown away yesterday. He was making some putts down the stretch. Like, I always root for him, and then. Sure enough, like, you know, he missed a couple putts on those last few holes, and then going into 18, he just butchered that layup.
Yeah, you're onto something. Approaches from 50 to 125 yards, he's 164th. I mean, this is, you know, like 35 attempts on the season, so it's kind of a small sample. But and then you get him further away from 125 to 150, he's 8th, and then like 60th, and, you know.
He's a straight-up menace with his long irons and his driver. But, I just feel like you can't, you know, you get him inside 120. I mean, it's kind of like my game. I mean, you get me inside 120 yards, and I feel like I swing with my hands around my neck. So
that's the best comp I could have come up with for Gary Woodland's game is Tron. That's what I was going for. He's 20th in strokes gained putting so far this year. Again, that's 15 measured rounds, but that's the biggest difference for me. He does look like a robot standing over a putt. He looks so uncomfortable. I don't know how he makes putts because he looks like he's about to squat about 600 pounds off the rack.
He is a specimen.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a he is like post-pop, whatever you want to call it. Like, he was the man in 2011. He was the the young guy that came out that was just absolutely bombing the ball. I remember the 2010 U.S. Open. I was there on that Friday at Pebble, and on the second hole, it was a par five, and it was downwind, but he hit – I never heard of this guy. He teed off and just hit – the sound of that ball coming off that driver, both my dad and my friend that we were with, it was – oh, the Colonel. We were like, look, like, who is this guy? We followed him down that hole. He hit sand wedge into that par five that day. And that's what I was like, that's when Gary Woodland got on my radar. And then he won in 11 and then just kind of disappeared there for a while. So I don't really know what to make of him at this point. He's kind of the pre-No Laying Up days, bomber young fanboy of mine. So
it's always disappointing when you see him in person, though, because I feel like he looks so big on TV. Like, I mean, I swear to God, the guy looks like he's 6'3 or 6'4 on TV, and you see him in person, and he's not that tall. He's just kind of stacked, you know?
I can't tell if he's, like, jacked or if he's kind of dad-bod-ish. I can't really figure that out.
Oh, I think he's jacked. Okay. I think he's – and then he's, like, the precursor to the Justin Thomas is Jordan Spieth's friend thing, where, like, every time they showed him for those first 3 years or so, it was like, oh, Gary Woodland, like – played college basketball.
I swear to God that the cheat sheets on these guys is like three lines long, if that, and they don't go past line one. It's unbelievable.
Oh yeah, I don't think it goes beyond line two for anybody.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, thank God the PGA Tour Live guys, at least, like, you know, and they cover a guy for 18 holes. They go deeper than that. But man, when they come on the main network TV screens, it's absolutely unbelievable. Do you know DJ can dunk a basketball?
I was watching PGA Tour Live on Thursday or Friday. Craig Perks was on, and he and whoever was doing the lead on it, they went into college football discussion for like 20 minutes, and it was better. It was almost better insight than anything I've heard on ESPN of late. Like, those guys, they know their stuff on there, not just golf. Which
the pace of that is just so good. Like, those guys, you're kind of – I honestly just open it up in a window, and I'm listening to it while at work and not really even watching it, and it's just kind of soothing. Like, you know, you don't need to be watching every shot on the screen. They're telling you what's going on. And we agree we weren't going to give them any more free promotion, but apparently we can't resist ourselves. But
yeah, it's like the best qualities of European Tour coverage and – PGA Tour action, put together.
Yeah, and then you just, when you get into that CBS broadcast, it makes it that much more painful. It really does. Yeah. Did you listen to the U-Line podcast yet?
I haven't fired it up yet.
He tried to bait me into he said something like, you know, I just like to sit back and watch a CBS broadcast, and like he was totally in on it. So
tell his dad to stop spending so much money with him, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point. All right.
Speaking of telecast, I was really disappointed. So NBC was great on Saturday, and then they just. Man, Sunday was painful yesterday.
They lost it. Yeah, it was the Jack thing was horrible timing. It lasted 45 minutes. It was unbelievable. You nailed it. They asked him for it. They asked about the ice cream, of course. It's fantastic.
It was right on cue, man.
Oh, like, God. Yeah, it was.
Scripted it.
It was. Do you have those stats that Kevin Jackson tweeted in front of you? I mean, we need to, and I think you're working on something like this, accumulating on how the stats compare, like across an NBC versus CBS broadcast. But
I'm going to get deep into the Tshwane Open this weekend, too, on the Euro Tour. Try to chart some of those.
Well, it's going to just blow the PGA Tour shots out of the water. But I saw somebody respond to that tweet too, saying like, "Yeah, when there's only two guys that have a chance to win, of course they're going to show less golf." Like, I don't buy into that at all. Like,
I totally disagree with that.
You can absolutely, like, what's his name, Chad Collins. I mean, I'm not pining to see Chad Collins shots on television, but he finished fourth and he had like two shots shown. Like, I don't. Again, that's usually a criticism that we direct in CBS's direction. But yeah, a little disappointed with Sunday NBC. But it's so good to have them back. I feel like they do such a better job of presenting the drama, and maybe that's just the Johnny Miller factor. But
Johnny was salty yesterday, huh?
What was that, man?
I mean, extra salty.
I embrace. I do like to make fun of Johnny, but I think he's like the best. So but what was that about, you know, Ricky not winning that in style? Not to go back on Ricky, but what was that comment?
I don't know. I mean, that was just totally over the top, but it was like you were there a couple years ago at Sawgrass. Like, that was about as stylish as I've ever seen anybody win.
He won by four, and like the whole course was playing hard. Like, he was shot better than the field did on Sunday, which is all you need to do when you're going in with a four shot lead in the final round. I thought that was really unfounded, but I mean, for the most part, Johnny does add. I know a lot of people out there really dislike him, and I will continue to make fun of him, but still love having him on the broadcast. And you would even mention to me, you made the point that like Faraday seems to be like in a lot better rhythm now with NBC this year.
For sure. Yeah, that was a big takeaway for me on Saturday. That and just how sweet that Pro Tracer graphic thing they've got is.
Exactly.
Like the 3D. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be a good season. So, I think they'll learn from Sunday. I think they saw some of the criticism. I think I'm not too worried about it. But, Saturday was really good. All right. I've been just chomping at the bit to get to this one. I think 99% of the listeners that downloaded this podcast want to hear this take exactly right now. You can stretch out a bit if you want, but we want to hear it on the delicate genius, Bryson DeChambeau.
I'm kind of coming full circle, man. Like, I talked to a lot of people last week. Everybody kind of says the same thing. They say, like, everybody that knows him a little bit says he's not a bad dude. So sometimes I feel bad for going in on him, but like, the guy just can't stay out of his own way. Yeah. Like Bubba style, you know, like, just whatever is the complete wrong thing to say, he says it. And then he nukes the USGA. Like, so he his putting stats are awful this year, right?
Terrible.
And then he nukes the USGA, blames them for the putting woes when the side saddle is obviously not working anyway. And, you know, maybe that was part of it. He couldn't commit to it or whatever. He had some, you know, indecision in his head. But then he walks the USGA comments back and says, we're all, you know, part of a family. And I'm like, dude, just like, if you're going to say that, like, I thought the USGA comments were probably pretty accurate. Like, but if you're going to say that, like, stand by it, you know, don't walk it back. I don't know. My sense is that he's just, it's not helping his cause that, going back to the exposure thing, that we see him in that data commercial every commercial break.
Hey, he's talking about not laying up in the commercial in fitness. We got to give him that.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's not helping him out. But I feel like he's got a bunch of endorsements. There's a ton of pressure on him. And from what it sounds like, he's got a real young agent that sounds like Bob Sugar from Jerry Maguire. So
you're not off on any of it. You mentioned the Bubba comp. I'm definitely not there as far as disdain for him yet, like, as at the Bubba level. He came in as he marketed himself as this quirky dude, right? So you got to play well if you're going to be this dude, or else it's all going to spiral on you. And I think it is spiraling on him a bit, and he's kind of maybe he's got too much of an ear to the media and to the criticism he's taking. But man, at least you were supposed to be the guy that mashes, right? I mean, that ball striking display you put on at the Masters and then subsequently at the Heritage, like, I think I've put him in my fantasy lineup every chance I get just because of how, like, intrigued I was at that point. I mean, personality wise, there's not a whole lot to like there, but I was intrigued by this guy. And, you know, I said at the time, like, don't rush to judgment on this guy, and I completely overreacted and also maybe mentioned that I wanted him on the Ryder Cup team at one point.
Yeah, but I feel like you, I don't know. I mean, you get so jolly with the Ryder Cup.
That's just standard procedure for me, really. So,
I mean, I feel like he's got, like, going back to your point about the Masters last year, I followed him for, like, almost the whole practice round at Augusta, and I mean, I love his game. Like, he hits the hell out of the ball. And I like his swing, even. You know, a lot of people don't like his swing. I like his swing. It's just a matter of, like, the other thing is, if you're going to talk to the media and be this zany, quirky guy all the time, like, when things are going well and you're going to embrace that, then when things aren't going well, you got to man up and talk to the media as well. You know, like, I've heard multiple instances of him just, you know, as soon as somebody asks him about the putting, he's like, no comment, not going to talk about the putting. It's like, all right, come on, man. It goes both ways, you know?
Goes both ways.
Yeah.
The thing is, he was supposed to be the guy that things aren't supposed to go poorly because of this robotic motion that he basically invented, right? You know, that was supposed to be – his swing was supposed to be the ultimate slump buster. And really, he's not – I mean, the putting has been awful this year, but he's just been a mediocre – I mean, not mediocre. He's been like an average ball striker basically since he came out on tour. And I mean, for what, for, you know, being the U.S. amateur champ, you know, that carries, that carries some weight and some notoriety that comes with it, and the sponsorships, and being so out there with all the things that he's talking about changing the game and all this stuff. Like, you're gonna feel the heat if you don't back it up with good play. So I don't feel that bad. I'm still intrigued. I still would love to have a conversation with the guy about golf. I'm rooting for him. Are you? Like, do you feel like you root for
him? Yeah, I am too. No, okay. I just want him to, like, you know, I just want him to quit acting like a weenie. That's my take. I mean, you know, I'm kind of looking at it like, I think there needs to be more variety on tour. There needs to be more characters out there. I'm all for that. I just think the guy needs to, you know, quit talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah, I don't want to get too into questions just yet, but we had a good one. Frank Villaflor said, "What on your real take on him? Is it like a tough love thing with you, kind of like the C-suite with Spieth, or do you have a genuine dislike for him?"
I think it's more of a genuine dislike. Oh, just okay. I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's the well actually guy, like the you know, that like well actually guy on Twitter personified.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Not a good look.
So,
all right, very fair. Bit of old news at this point, but I do want to at least talk out loud about the whole Pat Perez big cat thing from last week. Did this register for you? I mean, like, did you think that people overreacted to it? Did you think what he said was legitimate? What's your overall take on that?
I liked what PP said. I agreed with pretty much all of it. I thought he was a little bit harsh. I mean, obviously PP owes a bunch of Tiger tax.
A lot.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you know, PP doesn't care about what people think. I don't think that's anything that anybody hasn't been saying in private.
Yeah.
You know, and then I just want to know, my big question is how the guys in Dubai got Tiger. Like, what kind of dirt or what did they have to hold above Tiger's head to get him to fly to Dubai on a commercial jet when, like, the guy can barely even stand up, and then do a sit-down interview with Peter Dawson over there? Like, it was just, that whole thing to me is just, like, there needs to be a 30 for 30 or something on that.
Was it you that said, gave me, that mentioned something about a rumor about that, or where did I hear something about that?
Some people have said that, I mean, basically just saying the same thing, like, there's got to be something there where, like, he owed somebody some sort of big-ass favor to get over there, you know? But, I mean, think about that. It's not like he went over there thinking that his back was in great shape and thinking that he can compete, you know?
Yeah, it all just doesn't add up.
He's pain from the moment he stepped on the first tee.
Yeah. The whole thing doesn't add up. You're right. And I wish, I don't know, I don't have a take on what's going on with Tiger other than it's bad. It's really
it's
bad.
So bad. Like, it's bad. It's like in Step Brothers when the bunk
beds. It's so bad. It's so bad. I've not tweeted anything about this because I hate that guy that has some information but can't share it, but I really do. And it's not good. I mean, there's a reason why he missed, you know, the press conference last week, and why we haven't really heard from him in a while. And it's really not good. So I was excited for the comeback, and it's just been, you know, it's not happening. But I can kind of push it to the side and be fine with that, just because of how good this season's really been so far. But
that's my biggest frustration. Is it's just such a
distraction.
It's such a distraction, unnecessarily so.
Yeah.
And then Steiny makes it that much worse.
And yeah, we had JT, Hideki, DJ, Spieth, Ricky, and Hudson Swafford win tournaments. Did I miss somebody? Yeah. But that's pretty ridiculous first 2 months of the season. So it's not, I mean, first of all, it's also, I think, is it a requirement to say, when you talk about Tiger and his impact on the game, you have to say he's the needle, right? Like, that's the exact word you have to say at this point, right?
He's the needle. I mean, are you suggesting PED usage?
Is that the underlying tone of when everyone says, every single person says, he moves the needle? I mean, think about it. The guy moves the needle. Why does everyone say the exact same phrase? I'm sure I've said it before, but my God, it's unbelievable. Even Perez in this statement said that exact thing. But
yeah,
I just didn't get the people that can't. Like, it's such a lazy, lazy take to be like, who is Pat Perez to have this opinion? He has 2 wins. Tiger's got 79. Like, know who fed you. It's accurate, but I mean, that doesn't mean that he's not right about what he said. I mean, I get the tone. I get the kind of.
He and Tiger have been friends for a long time.
I know. They're on good.
He was pretty effusive in his praise of him for the first, 20 or 30 seconds that he was talking. I didn't have a problem with anything he said. Again, it was probably a little bit harsh, but at the end of the day, I think somebody needed to say it, because this has been a whole big charade that's been going on. And, after Dubai, like, half the reporters that were over there basically called Mark Steinberg a liar.
Right.
Straight up. Who do you think's telling Mark Steinberg to lie?
Yeah.
Tiger. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and it's 100% what guys – he's not alone in what he said. He's alone in saying it, but other guys are saying this as well privately. I know that for a fact. It's not.
He had the
secret.
Balls to say it in public.
Exactly. Yeah. So he did it, and I'm glad he did. I mean, that sucks that he got that bad of backlash. And yeah, I tweeted that. I tweeted his quote along with the fact that his profile was deleted. I didn't do any homework on when he deleted his profile. I know I got to relent. I was told I will not be taken serious in the media because if I didn't report on the timing.
Yeah, that one cut deep, huh?
Yeah, that one hurt because I didn't report on the timing of when Pat Perez deleted his Twitter account. But goddamn people, it's unbelievable. McRib is back this week at 7,300 feet. Are we going to see a 450-yard drive this week?
Roderick McRib. I hope so, man.
The yardage out there?
I don't know. I got to look that guy up. We had some guy email us from Mexico City. Let's see here. Club de Golf de Chapultepec.
Beautiful.
This place looks sweet. It looks kind of old school.
Makes me just want like a
burrito. It opened in 1928. So Gentle Ben's won there before. Jay Haas won there in 91. But I can't find much about the actual course.
Is this going to be in a preview? Like, I know you just had a child, but I mean,
yeah, no, I'm going to do a preview.
The people want the previews.
Well, and there's just so much to talk about. Like, even without diving into politics, like the fact that the tour moved the Doral event from Trump's course in Doral to Mexico, like, that's hilarious.
They literally
outsourced the tournament to Mexico.
I think that was when Trump was about like 100-1 to win the presidency.
But the fact that like that's still like that happened, and now all of this has happened, like, that's so rich.
I haven't said anything on this yet, mostly because I was waiting for Rory to have his presser, and we'll post this on Tuesday, so it'll be the day of Rory's presser. I assume he's going to get asked a lot about the round with Trump, but I forget where I saw. I read an informal poll. Somebody said like 90% of tour players were polled and asked if they would play with Trump if given the opportunity, and they said yes. So where did you lie on the whole controversy that stemmed from Rory playing 18 holes of golf with Trump?
Well, first of all, like 90% of tour players are probably also like staunchly Republican.
Accurate. Accurate. So that's kind of to my point.
That's probably a low number, right?
That's where I don't get where this criticism is, but I'm hardly objective on this topic. So I want
you to go first.
Yeah, I have no
problem. I mean, I don't know. Rory's not even an American citizen. At the same time, he's president of the United States. I'm not trying to get into some political take here, but if Rory had a chance to have his ear and talk about shit that he wanted to talk about, why not? Mm-hmm. That's like, I have an agenda. Like, I would play golf with Trump, and I'd tell him, hey, you need to outlaw white belts. You need to do this, and this. But like, that's shit that I would talk to him about. I would, probably say some serious stuff too, but. I don't think it's ever a bad thing to open a conversation with someone, I guess is my.
And that's where I don't get why people are looking to Rory for their political statements.
Exactly.
He's not, like you said, he's not a citizen. B, what did this change? Like, I know it's hard not to get really heavily political, but let's face it, Trump has come under a lot of criticism for a lot of things, you know, since being inaugurated, et cetera. What did this change about anything? It's not like this was some big glorious moment for Trump. If anything, it looked really badly on Trump because his aides lied about how much golf he was playing. It's not like it would have been a bigger political statement if Rory said no to him for no real reason from his perspective. Like, again, he's not an American citizen. He did not vote in this election. He has some kind of relationship with Trump. They've always been friendly from what I can gather. And you get that experience to go play with a sitting president. Like, come on, you're going to take it. And I mean, why wouldn't you want to kind of, like you said, shoot the shit with the guy on the golf course for a while and
figure out what he's really about instead of just kind of the show that he's putting on for the media.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't get why what Rory does has any influence on your political beliefs or your understanding of politics or why that registers for anyone. I mean, I don't know. I think that's just asking way too much of the guy for you, just a fan or a media member or anyone to sit back and criticize him for you know, going to go play a round of a golf with one of the most powerful people on the planet. Just because you want him to make a political statement out against it doesn't mean that it's something he's going to act on.
So, and if nothing else, I mean, Rory lives right down the street.
That's exactly what happened. It was a last-minute thing. Like, it wasn't like a planned thing. So I don't think he had much time to think about it. I don't think he regrets it. I mean, I know he got a lot of crap for it, but, I mean, yeah, it's crazy week for last week.
I will ride for the McRib on that one. So, by the way, how's his rib? Is his rib?
He sounds good to go. He's been really like kind of soft spoken about the progress. Like, it doesn't sound like he's been, you know, dialing up and ripping it, but he was effusive in saying that. I'm trying to use your big vocabulary. I don't even know if I'm using effusive right, but he was adamant that this week was a good week for him to come back from timing-wise, and he's never changed that. So I don't know. I don't have huge expectations for him in Mexico, but I think he wants to make sure he gets some reps in, obviously, before Augusta. But I just want to give a quick shout-out to CNN for almost getting saying no laying up right, even though Anderson Cooper, big shout-out for we made it on CNN, but we got called no laying it up, which close enough. You know, I mean, we get called a rounding error. But
It sounds like Anderson Cooper needs to do a 180 on that one. Sorry, that was terrible.
All right,
Club Day Golf, Chapulte Peck, 7,267 yards, par 72. So this might be – yeah, this might be –
There's gonna be a 58, a 1400 par 58. I know absolutely nothing about the golf course other than the yardage and the altitude. That's legitimately like at that altitude, it's like 15 to 20%, isn't it?
Yeah, because what in Denver it's like 7 or 8%, and then you add another.
I've probably in Colorado 5%? At like 15%, 10. Like, okay, I don't know what it is actually in Denver, but yeah. That's fun. I mean, I've hit some like 220-yard 8-irons, which is really
so
fun.
So when Neil and I went to Canada this summer, or last summer, like for over Labor Day for that wedding, up in Cranbrook, played a couple courses, played Wildstone and then a couple other courses up there. And like, I didn't even realize till the third day, like I was flying the green on every approach shot, and it didn't even compute that. I don't even think we were at like 4,000 feet, but even that was –
it makes
wreaking
a difference.
Havoc on my irons.
It makes a huge difference. All right, we made it 37 minutes before getting into your boy Jay Day.
Oh, all right.
Do you want to just get the flamethrower ready and go, or how do you want to do this?
I'm legitimately disappointed that he withdrew.
Really?
Already?
I feel like you. I mean, called it. That was pretty epic.
Yeah, but I wanted like something better than a double ear infection / the flu. Like I wanted altitude sickness or like narco terrorism or, you know, like something outside the box other than just this is the fifth time he's used the flu in the past 24 months to withdraw from a golf tournament.
How long can he like, and I'm not a doctor. How long can he live in Ohio? Like, is that a contributing factor, you think, at all?
It,
like,
might be. Yeah. I mean,
changing climates that often. I mean,
doesn't he spend a lot of time in the winter out in Palm Springs, like at the Vintage Club or somewhere?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I mean, according to the Nike commercial, he spends it practicing in the snow up in Ohio. So,
in his camo now.
Yeah, I mean, the guy. It's kind of like the DeChambeau thing. He can't get out of his own way at this point. I mean, it's ridiculous to be at this age and to be having this many health problems without, like, you know, the history of somebody like Tiger, you know, or like the physical body and like the wear and tear of somebody like Tiger. That he has withdrawing this so much for, you know, back injuries and flu and vertigo, and it's a new thing every week. And when you think it's gone too far, it goes like two steps further.
Yeah,
I'm getting upset at this point. And this is your beat. I'm infringing your territory right now. And to me, it's like, man, it's just too far, man. I want to like him. I really, most of these guys, almost all of them, I want to like you. Like, we don't set out to dislike anybody, but. Speaking of which, do you want to talk about Wesley Bryan?
Yeah, we squashed the beef today. My problem is
there wasn't a beef, first of all.
No, there's no beef, but I just don't like his Skechers.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, he goes after that whole. It's not really my style or anything, but I'm from Atlanta. Like, I'm used to that style, like that kind of that frat star. Southern style, but like, you can't wear a white belt and Skechers with that.
It's not, yeah. It's, but
you know,
so,
what I mean? Like, yeah, so like get some, like, get a Smathers and Brand, like, get a good belt.
Let's classify, you know, this level of hate, though. I mean, we're talking like, this is fun. Oh. This is
oh, yeah. No, I like his game.
He's an unbelievable player. His story is absolutely incredible. Like, let's put all everything in perspective here. This isn't like even like a Bryson level of this. Like, this is like, this is what we do. Like, we poke fun at certain things here. This is not a personal thing. But yeah. I mean, it's the pink pants and the white belt and the Skechers.
Is,
like, we're going to tease you about it.
Me just offering advice on like a consultant basis,
right? free advice. Did you expect to get a 3-year-old feedback on attire that you had on in an Instagram picture?
No, that was pretty solid. Although I was combing through your Instagram because I remembered that blueberry muffin outfit that you had on with
this.
White belt.
Why you gotta do this? So you want to know the worst part is like. So I made some regrettable decisions in my attire in the past.
I would say your wardrobe has never been your strong suit, nor have you tried to make it your strong suit.
Well, that's kind of the problem. I kind of have. Like, I've invested a little too much into it. I really loved the DJ all blue with white belt look, like in the late or like early 2010-11 phase. I kind of held on to it a little bit too long. And then I moved abroad and haven't shopped for golf clothes like really at all in the last like 3 years. So thank God we actually came out with some golf clothes, because my closet,
that's really all I wear these days now.
It really is. It's all I wear as well. But I'm not the most fashionable, and there's some damning evidence. I will say though, I'm ready to discuss this. The white belt hate has gone too far. It's gone too far.
Really?
It's so like, it's such a lazy, like, the amount of people that use it and like ferociously rip on it makes me think that, like, all right, like, this is past like a trendy thing to make fun of now, and it makes me just want to wear it even more, to be honest. I think it's
well, I think one of your and Bacon's bets this year needs to be,
oh, that's good. Yeah.
Whoever loses whatever your Masters bet or whatever bet you guys want to do, then that person either has to wear Skechers like for the rest of the year every time they play golf, or wear a white belt.
That's a good bet. I like that.
Which for you wouldn't be an issue.
It's
but.
Not hard because I have a reversible blue and white belt that I'm just dying to flip back over to the white. But
I get your point.
It's a lazy, and I'm guilty of this too, it's a lazy move to just throw in a white belt without any sense of the, you know, just it doesn't match anything else in the outfit. But it can at times look good. I don't like the white belt, white pants look. But I
disagree. I think if you're European or Australian and you want to wear a white belt with white pants, I'm cool with that.
Okay. You can't be American, though.
But, yeah, you can't be American.
The rules have gone too far. See, I like matching the belt color regardless of it with the shirt color. So if you have like black pants on and a white shirt, I think a white belt does not look bad with that.
Okay. Agree to disagree, my man.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I just wanted to voice that.
Oh, and somebody asked a question earlier. They said, like, if they found an albino gator and made a belt out of him or her, like, would you wear that? And, like, I can't answer that. I'd have to see it. I don't know. Go find that albino gator, and we'll cross that bridge.
Do you want – the last topic item I had written down here was the reverse Camilo. Do we want to talk about what happened to Cody Gribble?
Well, I just want to talk about, like, can we get Justin Ray, the Golf Channel stats guy, like, on the blower and get him to dig into that one? Because I think, like, so first of all, for those of you that don't know, the Camilo is when you're the first round leader and you miss the cut.
Yes.
So this was not a reverse Camilo would be being in last place and then going to first after the second round, right?
Right. So this one, Cody Gribble was the first round leader and then made the cut but finished DFL out of everybody that made the cut.
And, like, absolutely ejected on Sunday, too.
I think, I mean, it's just kind of unprecedented. So we may just call it the Gribble. Is that fair?
That's fair, yeah. So it's kind of like a Camilo light.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's fair.
But so what I want Justin to look up is how many times in the history of the tour, or say the last, like, 20 years, has somebody gone from being the first-round leader to missing the cut? And of those instances, how many times has it been Camilo Villegas?
I want to know that too. I bet he could look that up in like 5 minutes. I will
exactly.
I will DM him as soon as we're done here. That's great. Do you want to any other topics before we go into questions?
Who you got to win this week?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I've not like tried to pick a winner. The WGCs are like the hardest of the ones to pick. Like it's all the top players. It's like even filling out a fantasy lineup this week is not even any fun. Do you have somebody?
Well, all right. So I'm kind of in my own head about this. This is kind of a different take, but talking to some guys this weekend. So I looked up all the courses that Roderick McRib has won on, and it's like he's won on Congressional. Like basically all the courses he's won on either have deep Tom Fazio hands on them, like with redesigns, or they're Reese Jones redesigns, or they're Pete Dye, but they're basically like very new age, you know, kind of bomb and gouge style courses. I mean, even Firestone, I think, was a Reese Jones, like, and then Nicklaus courses too, Valhalla and all those. And then somebody else was saying, I think Andy from Friday was saying how DJ. Really, like, every course that he's won on has been, like, because Kyle Porter tweeted that thing the other day about how DJ's won it, or, yeah, like, Riviera, Oakmont, like, he's won at some pretty gnarly tracks, yeah. Pebble, but then, like, every time he wins, for the most part, it's wet and soggy.
Yep.
You know, but like, Rory tends to win on courses that are a little bit more firm and fast.
Really?
But
Rory's like the king of winning when it's wet. Valhalla was wet. Congressional was wet. Wasn't there rain delay at Kiowa as well?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. So, but
I think whoever tweeted that was saying the similarity and they both like it very soft.
Who's the firm and fast player? Like, who plays well when it's firm and fast?
Is it ZJ? I mean, he won at the one.
Is it Spieth? Spieth won at Chambers.
Spieth won at Chambers. ZJ won in 07 when Augusta was firm and fast. I don't really think. I mean, St. Andrews, was that firm and fast in 15? I don't know. I was there.
The weather was shit.
It was windy. It wasn't shitty weather. Like they had a delay because of wind. I don't remember being that firm and fast. But that's a good question. I don't know who. There haven't been that many Opens lately that have been firm and fast. Why can't I think of Pinehurst was Keimer. That was pretty firm and fast. 13, where was 13? Oh, Justin Rose, Marion. That was pretty firm. I don't know. There's not a lot of events that are firm and fast these days.
I think that's the most disappointing thing, I guess, then, is that we don't know, right?
Yeah. Sawgrass, what, last year? Remember that dried out. Day won that, didn't he?
Yeah, that was spectacular.
You loved that day.
God. They should do that every year for Sawgrass.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there is like a. Is it supposed to play firm and fast this week?
No, I don't know. I have no idea why I asked that. Okay. No reason whatsoever. I'm thinking about. I guess the reason I'm asking is it's been like super warm in Georgia. Like, my parents were saying the azaleas were like almost about to pop already, like a month early.
They did in Augusta. That's the. Yeah. They're gonna be done. Yeah, they won't be. Showing up or whatever you said, they'll be past bloom. I'm not a flower guy. Whatever, they're not going to be there for the Masters. How about that?
Yeah, which was it was like that a few years ago, but I think it was pretty firm and fast that year. So like, I want to see the course get baked out and get like that. I think Spieth is probably a pretty good firm and fast guy too.
I mean, it was pretty firm last year, wasn't it? I mean, it was really windy. I think that dried it out a little bit last year, but
yeah.
All right, let's do some questions.
All right.
This is from Mackie Hopin. You get 6 live mics to distribute at the Masters. Who are they going to?
DJ, just because DJ is awesome. I'm sure he has some great quips. I gotta give one to Spieth.
Yeah.
So I can hear him and Greller arguing.
Hashtag pray for Greller.
I mean, Mickelson.
Yeah.
Obviously. You got to give one to Mickelson. Who's like a freaking volcano? I mean, who cusses like crazy? You got to give one to Bubba, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, do you want one for 2 days?
God, that's savage. It's true.
Two-time champion. I'm willing to risk that.
Yeah.
Bubba's done. Sorry, yeah. He's done.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, who else are you giving one to?
I mean, if we can get a translator out there, I'd like Angel Cabrera to have one, I think.
Okay. That's fair.
I still want one. I want one on Rory. I want to hear what he has to say down the stretch. How many are we at then?
I'll tell you who I'm not giving one to. Who already has one is Faldo.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Ugh, I'm with you. He's getting one. I when I read the question, I was thinking that he was talking about actual announcers, but no. Live mics, I think that's a really good idea. But that'll never happen at the Masters. But yeah, Faldo's not getting in my booth if I'm distributing mics.
I'll tell you the last guy I'm giving one to.
Go ahead.
Mike Weir. Okay. I want to hear what he says when he's
240 out.
Yeah, like I just want to hear his conversations and kind of like hear how an amateur like plays the tournament.
Oh, Canada gonna be all up in your mentions. Oh. Just baiting them. Just
actually, I'd probably give one to one of the amateurs every year too, either the mid-am or the or the USAM champ.
We already did this. Curdy Ferg, I just want to read this tweet anyway, said, "You got to get your take on the NBC coverage this week. Documentary preview during the coverage. Going to be a no for me, dog." I just like that tweet. That was good.
It's a little pitchy, dog.
Little pitchy for me, dog. Brandon Berry, over under 2.5 withdrawals for Jason Day the rest of 17.
Ooh, I'm going the rest of 17. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go I don't know. I mean, how many tournaments does he have left? Maybe 14 or 15.
That's a lot of withdrawals. 3 withdrawals.
Like, I'm going to say under. I'm going to say he's going to go with 2 more withdrawals.
Are we saying, like, what if he just, like, takes time off? I don't know. Like, is a tournament that he skips a count as a withdrawal? Like, I don't know.
That's.
Yeah.
Very, very slippery slope there.
Slippery slope. C.A. Adams, 9/11, wants to know when the dad bod is going to kick in. Are we over under 6 months?
I've just got like frail bod right now. I just totally stopped working out, so I need to get my ass in the weight room. I lack pop right now.
You lack
not
pop.
Gonna, not gonna lie.
We got to get that. You only have like a few. We'll see if this happens, but we might be going to England next month for a little escapade. Is your game in any kind of shape?
No, man. I haven't played. I played on New Year's Day here. But yeah, I mean, people are just gonna light me up. But That's going to be kind of a new thing though too, right? We're going to start putting our swings on.
Yeah, we're going to do a thing like we're going to start with us first. We need to do this like try tomorrow. We're going to start with us and we're going to do like a weekly roast my swing, and we're just going to post it and then you guys can just have at it and just make fun of my white belts or whatever you want to make fun of. So we should do that like with this podcast when we post it. So find a video that you find worthy of posting. All right.
Dane Suarez asked, has your LPCP, basically has your LPCP like top five changed at all? And I had Cooch, Donald, the Molinari brothers, Steele, and Roberto Castro as my top five last time. I think Steele is now number one on my list.
Number one, Lax Pop can't play. You're giving away that title that easily?
Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna have to rationalize this one.
And he's one of the longer players out there. I can't do it. Can't do it. Stinks. I'm also going to put Troy Merritt on there too, in lieu of Roberto Castro.
Wow. I mean, you're naming like guy. Well, Brendan Steele's been playing pretty well, but like Troy Merritt.
He won earlier this year.
Was that this year? I don't pay attention to the fall.
It was a wraparound.
The what? What part of the season was it?
Well, all right. So
no. Wait. Right. What did you call it?
Sorry, the reach around.
There you go.
But okay. That's not fair for you to say. I don't pay attention to this time of the year. And then last year during the Ryder Cup stuff, you were like, "Oh, but JT won in the reach around season, and they don't count it for anything." Like
that's fair.
But that's not fair.
Well, that's fair. But I don't remember like who wins the fall events unless it's somebody significant. Like Cody Gribble, I had to I was like, he won an event. Which one did he win? Like I didn't remember him winning an event because I don't watch a lot of them. But yeah, I did watch Malaysia both times when JT won. So yes, but no, I don't watch every second of the fall series. So I stand by that. It still should count in Ryder Cup standings. That's ridiculous. I don't get why it doesn't count for anything.
No, I agree. I mean, if you're going to make it part of the calendar, I mean, I guess that's where the PGA of America and the PGA Tour.
What did Steele win? Did he win at Silverado?
I think so. Yeah, I think that was when he won.
Okay.
R.I.P. Cat, by the way.
R.I.P. Cat. He's done. Player. Oh, this is a good one. Jim Bob Sumaru. Player helped. Player most helped by good apparel contract, and player with potential most hindered by poor clothing. It's poorly phrased.
I'm gonna say. I bag on him a lot, or I bang on him a lot, but. Morgan Hoffman's got some good duds.
Incredible. Guys,
he looks great out there. He just.
Yeah, you need to explain your Morgan Hoffman take, too. That's a good transition.
He seems like a great guy. I get so frustrated when, like, somebody's been on tour for 4 or 5 years and, like, hasn't really sniffed a win. I know it's tough to win, but, like, hasn't. I mean, I think he finished 125th on the FedEx Cup list last year, but, like, hasn't accomplished anything significant. And it's just there. Like, I don't think there's enough churn on the tour. I like it when, you know, it's set up to where it's too hard to lose your card once you've had it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense. But I feel like if you're good enough of a web player, you can beat out a guy like Morgan Hoffman, right? I mean, you can get there. I don't think there's, like, the system's really holding down really, really talented players that just don't have an opportunity, you know?
Wes Bryan's a good example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but he's like the exception to the rule. Like, no, like Battlefield Promotion and what he's accomplished in the last 12 months is ridiculous. But I don't know. I think that there's people can lose appreciation for how many guys there are in that Morgan Hoffman bucket, right? And that Kyle Stanley is kind of in that category right now. I mean, he's making a lot of cuts. He's playing well. You're not seeing him on the top of leaderboards, but he's just kind of hanging around. And I don't know. I think there's something to be said for that. The guys that are really on their grind, and they may not be knocking down a ton of top tens, but I mean, it's hard to maintain that, you know, consistency throughout the year without like a few really good results. It's hard to keep your card. It really is. I kind of disagree a little bit. It's you need those top five finish to get you all those FedEx Cup points and all that money to like almost guarantee yourself a card. And to do that, to be able to keep your card without it, just shows like a level of consistency and making cuts and whatnot that Not everyone does.
But that's the thing. He doesn't make that many cuts.
He doesn't? I feel like he
does. I don't think so. But, well, then also, maybe my problem with him too lies in the fact that I feel like he has much better endorsements than he should, right?
Yeah. What does he have? I mean, I don't even know what he has.
He's got like – I mean, he's always had – he was like Polo for a while, and then he went to this Grayson clothes, but he's always been with Titleist. And I know he flies his own plane, which I know you know that too.
I definitely do know that.
But yeah, I mean, it just seems like he's kind of outkicked his coverage as far as his endorsements have gone his whole career, and kind of been a little bit hyped for not, you know, not producing.
How
that
did
much.
He keep his card this? Because last year he was 133rd in the FedEx. He was missed 14 cuts out of 25. I don't know.
Did he go to Web Tour Finals? Yes.
Maybe he did. He must have. But
and I would say guy right now that's most hurt by his clothing. For me, I mean, of like the guys in the top 20 would be Dub P. I mean, that William Murray stuff is like, I mean, if somebody gave me that stuff, I would burn it.
The logo looks good. I'll give him that. I mean, it looks very familiar and it looks good. They ironically followed it. They followed us on Twitter this week after I was saying nice things about Pat Perez, but they're gonna feel the wrath here pretty soon. I'm pretty sure. Did you see any other? Those are the ones I had flagged. I think I got to all of them. Do you have any other questions that you wanted to get to?
Hold on. I was scrolling through and I just put my phone down. Hold on.
I've not been reading through the ones we've gotten since we started recording.
Robbie Vogel asked if my kid's nickname is going to be Boom Boom. My kid's nickname is actually, while his name is Freddie, it's actually going to be the Junkman.
The Junkman.
Freddie Jacobson. Yeah.
Only you would name your kid not after Freddie Couples, but Freddie Jacobson. Jacobson? Yeah. I don't even know how to say it right.
Jacobson. Dude at a tournament wearing a full orange outfit, white belt, and Skechers. What are you saying to that guy? I don't think that guy exists because the guy wearing a full orange outfit at a tournament is always wearing Pumas.
Yes.
For the most part. And I normally take a picture with him if I see that guy because it's unintentionally hilarious. All right. I like this question from earlier. What, like comparing golfers to NBA stars?
Yeah, I saw that one. I feel like we needed to like dive in and do some research on that.
Yeah, we'll dive. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like Porter was saying earlier that Ricky is like Kyrie something before. I like we could do that. It's good. That takes some dedication. I'm not ready to go off the cuff on that.
Okay, that's fair.
Unless you've damn it! I missed my chance to say on the Terrell Hatton spike mark blame. We were like a couple steps away. I thought he was going to run into the spike mark and then flop like a full LeBron. Like I thought he was actually going to try to sell us on the spike mark blame that badly. That would have worked a lot better like an hour ago in this podcast, but
yeah. What's going on with BK, your boy?
My boy? I don't know. I don't really know. I thought so. JT is kind of having the breakout season that I thought Koepka was going to have. I don't know. It's 2 months in the season. I'm not too worried about it, but I mean, it was pretty hilarious that he snapped his driver in two before 8 a.m. on Thursday. But I don't know. I don't have anything flaming on that. We'll see.
Okay. Do you take your dogs golfing? Is there any dog/golf etiquette one should always follow? I haven't. I really want to because I feel like people out in Cali do that all the time. And that video that Neil had from Monterey Peninsula Country Club when he played out there, that dude had his dogs out with him too.
Do they chase the ball? Do dogs chase the ball when you hit it?
Mine would. That's why I probably could take him out. But I think that guy's dogs was just real chill. Could any LPGA player make it through US Open qualifying? And what PGA player wouldn't win an LPGA tournament?
I haven't seen that one. You got to give credit to the whoever.
Oh, Andrew J. Okay. Andrew like Andrew Jones, like spelled like that. Alan Wildwood.
I don't think an LPGA player makes it through the U.S. Open qualifying. Do you? Lexi would be the only one I feel like could.
I think it would depend on the depend on the site. Like I think like there's a couple shorter ones out there. Like they always have it at Springfield Country Club and Ohio, like if you drive it straight and putt your ass off out there, it's not so much about distance as it is about you know, stiffen your irons. I don't know, man. That Aria Jatunagarn,
she's to you for trying to say the name. I've never tried.
Crushing it right now, man. Just like she's in the zone, so I wouldn't put it past her. I'm a big Brooke Henderson fan too. So, yeah. But yeah, and then as far as PGA Tour guys not playing well in the LPGA. Again, I think it would just depend on the track, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying – I don't think, like, you just put a PGA Tour player in an LPGA event and they necessarily go win it. Is that what the question's saying? Because I definitely don't think that's the case. Do you?
Yeah, yeah. That's how I read it. But, yeah, okay. I think there's a lot more nuance to the – I mean, they hit a bigger variety of shots, too. I feel like the LPGA women do. But, going back to the U.S. Open thing, I feel like – the problem is just that their trajectory is so much lower.
Yeah, they can't hold the right? greens. Yeah, they probably couldn't hold the greens as well. I'm with you. DAG in NYC, biggest NLU achievement thus far, debunking the president's lies and getting covered by CNN. Wait, it says it's a two-part tweet. I only see one. I don't know what the second part of this was. But
very, very dishonest.
Very dishonest. Yeah, I'd say I don't know what the biggest achievement was. I'd say... probably getting mispronounced on CNN was a good one, but Chad Buchanan wants to know why we aren't doing this full time yet, and what would it take for us to do so.
It's a good question.
Go buy some stuff in the pro shop, Chad, and we can make it happen. No, so yeah. I think it's a good time to say it. We will be adding some sponsors to this show in an effort to move towards doing this more frequently, if not full time in the future. That's all I can really say on the matter at the moment.
Yeah. Solly bought a drone. We bought a drone.
Oh, we too. Got a drone. Drone life is coming to reality. So we're going to be hopefully going to England next month, playing at Birkdale if things work out right, and documenting that and kind of really beefing up our travel section. And I'm going to be doing a bunch of Scotland and Ireland stuff this year, as well as a trip to Lufton Links in Norway in June, which I'm pretty close to booking now, which I could not be more excited for. That place looks absolutely legit. Yeah,
and then I got some Florida stuff planned too for next month. So yeah, it'd be good.
Are you going to be going to the match play?
TBD, but I don't think so, because I think that would be when I'm in Florida. I'm either going to do Bay Hill or match play, but I think match play is the same week that we were going to go to Europe, or I was going to go to England.
What are you going to do in Florida? Are you just going to the Invitational?
Well, I think I'm going to try to go to Bay Hill and then just play a bunch of golf. Nice. I got three or four rounds set up with people down there, and then going to Atlanta, and then I'm going to the Heritage, meeting Big Randy at the Heritage too, Alex and Freddie and I.
Nice.
So
that'll be the 3-year anniversary of the last time I saw you, would be the Heritage this year.
Karama Steakhouse, man.
That's right. Board of directors meeting.
Ibachi, Tim Clark in the building.
All right. Let's wrap it at an hour and 9 minutes. That's a lot of podcasts this week, so.
Yeah.
Episode 68.
People are getting their money's worth.
We need a good one for episode 69, which is the next one. So I think we may have a good one for that. We'll see if it happens. It might not be for about 10 days or so, but we'll see.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it, man. That's it. Keep on trucking. I know you're in the throes of busy season right now. So yeah, keep on trucking for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, these next 2 weeks are gonna be tough. This is midnight that we're now recording this for me. So almost there. We'll get there, and then life opens back up. So
yeah.
So. All right, thank you.
All right,
brother.
Man. Talk soon, dude.
Good talking. Later, buddy.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes.
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most! Expect